Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode 98. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined once again by Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are we?
Good evening, Brandon Reif and Crossroads family. How are we doing?
Good, good. Excited. Had a good week. And now, my friend, the sports world is ramping up this week.
Oh, yeah. We got all, basically kind of got all the three major American sports kind of playing. Right now, would that be Major League Baseball and basketball starts tonight, and football, you know, it's like week seven or so, and week six or in football or so. So yeah, we are definitely in peak time of American sports.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a lot on the docket tonight. We've got we're kind of in the time constraints with the World Series going to be starting at 8:08 tonight. So we're going to try to get it all wrapped up before then because there's a lot going on. We got NFL talk tonight. We got some World Series talk. Tyler Fenwick's going to join us with that at 7 o'clock. We're also going to talk a little Michigan football. I got to talk about these Wolverines. They did not put on a good showing. And we'll talk about Jim Harbaugh because I read that he may have an exit strategy out of Michigan. I read that today. So more with Tyler on that. We're going to talk some the rest of the college football season. And then the NBA, the season gets underway this evening. We'll talk some NBA. We'll talk some Indiana Pacers. A lot to go through. First off, John, I would be remiss with sports betting. I did make an announcement last night on the Facebook page and Instagram that I will be now working part-time as a writer, contributor with American Betting Experts. So I will be putting picks out, different game lines, my thoughts, content videos, also legislation of what's going on here in the state of Indiana with sports betting, what new apps they have, how to, and then some videos with that. So great opportunity to work with American Betting Experts. Looking forward to my relationship with them and with Crossroads. If you go to the Crossroads website right now, you do see some of the logos on there with them. So working on a partnership with them with content. So thank you to them. Also, FanDuel Sportsbook just opened up today here in Indiana, went live. So FanDuel Sportsbook is the third mobile sports betting app now here in Indiana to go live. They joined Bet Rivers and also DraftKings Sportsbook now. The state of Indiana has got three places you can place your bets on now. If you do sign up with the FanDuel account, they do have an awesome promotion. You're going to get 25-1 odds. If you bet on the Colts to win the AFC South, 25-1 odds just to put money on the Colts to win the AFC South right now. It's a $75 bet limit, but you'd be stupid, John, I feel like, not to put money on the Colts to win this AFC South. That's easy odds. So,
dude, that's a good segue. That's actually a pretty good segue. If you want to talk about NFL, man, but yeah, I think about putting some money down because I think the Colts are going to run away with the AFC South.
Absolutely.
That's no shade to Texas.
Yeah. So check it out. FanDuel, the odds are on there. Get it. I will be sending out some promo codes as well throughout Twitter and on the Facebook page. So be looking for that. But let's get on our way right to the NFL. We've got the Indianapolis Colts, huge AFC de facto AFC South title game against the Houston Texans. Colts win 30-23. Before the game, I told you I'd fly Texans in that game. I just didn't think the Colts would come off a bye and would have it. But no, the Colts stepped up. John, what was your thoughts on that game?
When I think about the game, I look at the game as a whole. We see how special Quentin Nelson really is as he lined up at fullback. We also, you know what I'm saying, for those people, Colts fans mostly, who were on the outs with Eric Ebron, he had a spectacular catch. And a decent game for him. Again, there's still some connection issues, but that was a hell of a catch that he made during the course of that game. The Colts are sitting down kind of in the driver's seat when it comes to, I ain't going to say kind of, they are sitting in the driver's seat when it comes to the AFC South, as long as they take care of the business against Tennessee and Jacksonville, as they should, because those teams are in a disarray. They got another meeting up with Texas, and if they take care of that. You know, Brandon, it's kind of like, I don't think the national media has kind of gravitated to it. The local media has, and I know we have. We appreciate the coach. It's just those two losses. I kind of like kind of linger on with you, especially with me, because San Diego, yeah, I said it again, Brandon, the Chargers aren't a good football team, and the Raiders are going to be seemingly on a yo-yo all year, because they have good games that they kind of put together, and they have poor games that they kind of put together. So good win for the Colts. It does definitely put them in the driver's seat, kind of to, you know what I'm saying? As the season progresses, I know the national media conversation will kind of pick up around them. Like I said, total team effort. I don't know. I know I'm going to kind of go around robin with the Colts. I know there's been kind of talk today of them trying to see what's out there as far as like making the trades, because I don't, Brandon, you know, I'm pretty sure there's probably a tracker for it, but this is kind of a high time. It feels like for NFL trades. So I know there's been some talk about who the Colts might think about bringing in to kind of shore up. They do need to figure out a situation. You know what I'm saying? I always hear about Malik Hooker. Is he gonna play? Is he not gonna play? I'm not ready to start that. Are we gonna, you know what I'm saying, the narrative of beating the drum to get him out of here? But it would be interesting to see if the Colts sniffed around in possible trades to see if they can improve their secondary. But you know, say for teams asking for, you know what I'm saying, a number of a first rounder or second rounder, I don't think the Colts look at those. They don't take those offers seriously, because this particular GM likes to have a lot of picks to try to fill out a roster. He's not necessarily looking for a home run guy to come save, and the Colts don't necessarily need that. From a fan standpoint, you kind of want it, because you kind of, Brandon, you kind of see the collision course that's going to potentially happen between the Colts and New England. But so you don't want to look down the line too far. But at some point if their records continue to be like this, and their play of the both teams continue to be like that, they're for sure meet each other in the AFC playoffs. For sure. So again, can't necessarily look down the road too far. I don't think they make a deal. I know there's been some talk about it. I would love to have Von Miller, but Von Miller, the action price is going to be way higher than what the Colts are going to want to give up. So again, there might be a smaller deal out there that the Colts might look into. But I think this is the team that we ride with going further.
Are you okay with the Colts wide receiver corp? The fact, though, that they don't have somebody that can take the top off the defense if Jacoby does throw a bomb pass?
Well, when does – I don't want to mess his name – when does Fuchs come back, you know?
So
I think to answer your question, they're going to get him back at some point. Whether he's back at 100% or 80%, it'll be better regardless, right? They can see what they got out of a $14, $15 million man, right? They can see what they got. So I don't think they make a move for a wideout. I know Julio Jones' name's been tossed around as far as trades is considered as well. I know some. I can't think of who else is kind of. I know Miami.
There was one. I read today that they out of Philadelphia. I like to read newspapers on The Athletic. It's a great subscription, by the way, if you get The Athletic to read and different insight. But I was reading out of Philadelphia today that. One trade for the Colts for the wide receiver corp would be a Nelson Aguilar. Now, here's two things with that. Number one, Aguilar has, he used to be decent. He was a first round pick. He hasn't lived up to the hype. He started out okay, and then he struggled. We saw him Sunday night struggle against the Cowboys. Did not lay out for an easy bomb that he was thrown by Carson Wentz on Sunday. So you have to question his type of play, but. That was one trade, Aguilar to the Colts. He was with Frank Wright, and he actually flourished pretty well in the Frank Wright offense in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So that's one wide receiver thing you could look at was Aguilar. If the Eagles have had enough of him, I think Frank will take him. The fact that he's had him in his offense before in Philadelphia. So that's one I would like keep a pin in. The other one is, and it's not as much for the Colts, but the Green Bay Packers. And I know we're just about, I don't know, an hour and a half away or so from the people in Cincinnati, but there's talk about does the Bengals kind of blow it up and start over again? I mean, they're having a horrible season, winless. Do they blow it up? And there's talks of them possibly trading AJ Green to the Green Bay Packers, possibly as a destination. That gives Aaron Rodgers another wide receiver with Devontae Adams out with some injuries and such, but that's another one that's been rumored around. So I guess we'll kind of see. The NFL trade deadline, the trades used to be very quiet, John, I felt like, and now in the past couple of years, it's kind of ramped up, and I think you can thank the NBA for a lot of that. So, and he had two good trades today in the NFL. Mohamed Sanu getting traded from the Falcons to the Patriots. I think that's a huge win for the Patriots. I liked Sanu in Atlanta. I got him on a few fantasy teams. I thought he was the most reliable wide receiver they had, and that's even with Julio Jones on that roster, because Julio Jones would disappear in the end zone. So, but that could be Matt Ryan's fault too. And then Emmanuel Sanders getting traded to the 49ers. The 49ers, you know, they're not very happy with their wide receiver corps. Dante Pettis has been kind of a fluky guy here and there. Besides that, you got George Kittle, and that's all really, I mean, your main wide receivers and 49ers, unless I'm forgetting somebody, but getting Emmanuel Sanders out there, that's a huge pickup for this Niners team who's undefeated, surprisingly. Nobody saw this coming. Kind of as we approach that playoff stretch run.
Do the Patriots are, I mean, I don't think they're necessarily worried. They just want to submit it. And they kind of, like, you know, say, you come with that breaking news, that kind of cements it, that doesn't it? They got Cleveland coming up next week, and I know Cleveland, they're still fighting with the media, which is, you know, saying that's the wrong thing to do. It's right. It is, man. You know, Odell Beckham has got fined for wearing the wrong pants again. So, like, where's I asked you, you know, saying, I know a lot of people were looking at on paper. Of course, they look great. You know, you got a Heisman Trophy women over here. You got, you know, Pro Bowler, you know, maybe future Hall of Famer and Odell, and, you know, the defense they built. I mean, it's lottery pick after lottery pick from the SEC that's on that team, seemingly, right? So, we know the team has talent, but, you know, Brandon. They think about the wrong thing. They're at war with the media when they should be at war week to week with whoever they're playing against, you know. So again, the Patriots, the rich get richer, unfortunately, and they'll be 7-0, 8-0.
John, what did you think of that game last night? My goodness.
Well, I know I know you because you bet you put money on the Jets because you bet the spread because the Jets look good. Playing against Cowboys, and I got a good friend who's also an artist, Gary G. It who also did a smart thing like you did and put money on the Jets because it's the kind of cover spread. And like, man, that was horrible. That
can
was
I raise my hand? Night. If I could raise my hand with you,
go ahead.
With my head, when we did our last show, I said Jets money line or Jets spread. I loved the Jets spread, 9.5, 10 points. Loved it. Couldn't bet it. John, when I placed that bet yesterday morning, I took the Patriots. you don't bet. Hey, I was told a smart phrase by another sports bettor, and he told me you don't get rich betting against the New England Patriots. So,
okay, right.
With that being right, said, I went there.
In Vegas, I don't think they're taking bets on the Patriots to win the AFC anymore.
No. Hey, real quick, we've got our boy. We got Sweet Lou. Oh, I'm going to bring him on real quick. Sweet Lou, we got about 4 minutes we can do with you, my friend. But
all right.
We're talking about your Jets, Jets.
Of course.
I'm gonna leave the floor to you, my friend. What was your thoughts on that game last night?
You mean that crash landing in the making? Darnold is a joke. He is a bum. I mean,
you're over it.
I gave him the benefit of the doubt. You know, during his first year, rookies make mistakes. But he hasn't done much of anything in his second year. You know, forget about the mono stuff and whatever. He just isn't our guy. But the question is, who is saying who is to blame? I mean, some people say it's the coaching that should be at blame for this, putting him in this kind of position or whatnot. But I still say, look, you're the quarterback. You're responsible for how the team plays, not the coach. They're not the ones playing the game. You are. If you don't do the job right, you're going to be out of here. And I wouldn't be surprised if come the end of the season, he's gone.
Wow.
I mean, enough is enough.
2 years, and they're already over him, John. 2 years are already over him.
Well, he had a bad game. He had a very bad
game. He did.
But you,
sure did.
But you're talking about the New England Patriots. And you talk about Bill Belichick. And Bill
Even
Belichick
so.
Made him look like Bill
the best of the best.
Like he made him look like he was a junior in high school, much less the second-year player in the NFL. Okay?
Yeah.
That's what he made him look like. So, and
That's
then
right.
the coach, you also got to take the fact the coach got out-coached, and everybody got outplayed. Like, the New England Patriots have a different mindset than the New York Jets or than
right.
anybody else. I don't. I'm not trying to pick on the Jets. I mean, I just think the Jets the week before looked like an actual, you know, caliber team, playoff team when they beat the Dallas Cowboys.
That's just
right?
one game,
they,
though.
They look good. We was in love with Darnold. I think it's just, just something like, you know, even the great Peyton Manning had to, like, you know, got sunned by Bill Belichick. So you
had
know,
to kiss the ring.
Yeah, Sam Darnold will be fine. I think the Jets – I don't think the Jets are going in panic mode, but I think the Jets will bring in a veteran quarterback next year.
They have to.
Mm-hmm.
Last name rhymes with Dalton.
Uh-oh.
Don't go with him. He's even worse.
I could see it. I can't necessarily see a big market, like a $200 million market for Dalton. For Andy Dalton,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
I do see a market. I do see a market for Andy Dalton. Hell, you know what? I even see a market for Teddy Bridgewater.
You know?
But that was bringing in Teddy Bridgewater would make it
yeah.
very competitive, and it probably would send Sam Darnold down. So, but somebody like Dalton, that's somebody that the Jets could say, "Here we're paying you this money, but it's not like it's not team breaking money, but we want to put pressure on the kid." That's what kind of needs to happen. Pressure needs to kind of happen with the kid because the kid know how many interceptions did he throw? He knew you wasn't getting pulled out of the game.
And that's another question. If you were the coach,
yeah.
would you have pulled him? Would you have pulled him after everything was going on? It just wasn't working.
Is this a home? Brandon, we wasn't in New England.
No.
This is a home game. I'm
yeah.
not trying to. We have to try. Again, you know what? Not at this point in his career, but it's at some point, if Bill Belichick earlier on, I'm sure he would pull Tom Brady. You cannot keep on turning over the ball. Like, we're trying to win. The team is trying to win. The team rallied.
I think a lot of coaches would have pulled him.
Right. What team? The team rallied around what player in the NFL? Who's the captain of the team? You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying I think he'd be fine. But like, they need to bring in somebody to put some pressure on him.
Okay. Lou, who the Jets have next week?
Let's see here. I wonder when their off week is.
looks like the Jaguars is what I'm looking like.
Well, maybe that could be a little bit of a small victory because the Jaguars aren't any good either. So
yeah,
maybe we can
take
stop
what
with
you
that
can.
Next week.
Yeah,
take what you can.
Absolutely. All right, Lou, we got to run, my friend. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thanks.
See you, buddy. All right, John. Sweet Lou. I figured we were talking Jets. We had to bring our man on.
Well, I'm glad he got on.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a few things for you. Number one, we talked a little bit of the 49ers. The Atlanta Falcons, John, they're just – have you ever seen a team with so much talent and be so bad? You know, it baffles me. I mean, they got beat like a drum by the Rams. And the Rams.
It shouldn't baffle you. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just.
With the Falcons, Brandon, it's psychological. They have not gotten over the Super Bowl. They ain't gotten
yep.
over the Super Bowl. They haven't.
I agree. Patrick Mahomes, injured Thursday night. Still got the job done. Against the Broncos, which was no slouch. By the way, I took the Chiefs under in that game, the Chiefs-Broncos under. Mm-hmm. Once I saw Patty go out, I said, yep, this is set. So that was a great pick to take last Thursday night. But no, Mahomes out for at least 3 weeks. It looked really bad, John, when they kept showing it. It looked like his dang leg was switched another way.
Yeah, with the kneecap. Yeah, that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate.
That's the Madden curse.
I'm not gonna never say that.
It is.
Do you got to be a football
Come on, man.
Madden curse? I'm asking. Do you got to be find
yeah.
out? Find out. Do you have to be a football player? Because if you don't, I'll sign up and be.
I think
Madden.
You do because the one guy that was not a on the Madden curse, I think John Madden was the last one that wasn't a current football player or Hall of Famer that was on the curse. Hey, let's just say last year's Madden cover was Antonio Brown, and we know how that turned out. So
that should never happen. But yeah.
And by the way, we went about 2 weeks without talking to Antonio Brown, saying his name. So I was proud of our show. But no, do you believe the Chiefs are okay?
Dude, look at their division. Division's crap. It is.
Ooh.
Division's
Ooh.
Crap.
Who's your number two in that division? I have the Raiders.
You took the words right out of my mouth. They don't, like this is high time for them. I mean, they just got out. They got outgunned in Green Bay. That's what happened with that. They got outgunned in all facets of the ball. John Gruden probably ain't never seen nothing like that. He saw it on.
Right.
He saw it in the booth. He saw it on the booth. He ain't never saw nothing like that. Green Bay's a little scary. They only lost one game. They only lost one game, Brandon. A little scary.
How pissed are you? If you're how pissed are you if you're a Chargers fan? The way that debacle ended.
Like the coach, I listened to him on the interview. Man, he seemed like he wanted to quit. He talked like he wanted to quit because the team. He said everything. We let everybody down. Offense, the defense, everybody we all let each other down. They know, Brandon, it's mind-boggling because they know they should be better because they – kind of like what you said about the Falcons. But
yeah.
Like,
I put it on – I don't put it on the coach either. I mean, I put some on the coach. You got no time and score and all that. But I'm going to put that on Phillip Rivers too. You're a veteran. You're supposed to be this all-time guy. I mean, I know you got 11 kids. You got to worry about running around the house. But if you don't get it in, John, and you know there's that chance where, damn, this could get reviewed and I have 3 timeouts – they let the clock run. They let 30 seconds run off the clock. 30 seconds. And they're like, all right, well, they're going to call it. And then they call the timeout. You go ahead and call that timeout. Say, hey, you know what? Give the booth time to say, you know what? Let's look at this a little bit further. The play calling was ridiculous as well. Anthony Lynn, he ain't going to have himself a job. I'm sorry. He has a great story and a great case. But he ain't going to have a job at the end of the season.
No. He seems like he's like, I mean, he went on. It seemed like he's kind of lost the team, and they don't know what they're doing. But I know that can't be so, man. But yeah, can they get it together? They are a team. Here's the thing about the Chargers: they are a team, whether they're in Los Angeles or San Diego, they have these, you know, come to Jesus moments, as sometimes people call them, or look in the mirror moments, and they run around and get a streak of like 6-7 games. But you can't trust that. You can't. As a football fan, you can't trust that. I'm telling you, don't. Because they will not. They will never turn holy water into wine. They will not. San Diego Chargers, the LA Chargers, wherever they're at.
Damn.
Will always. Right. They will always fail you. So, no.
Okay.
I hope they go on the streak. I really do.
Okay.
That division, nothing happens.
Good to see the Steelers had a nice bye week, so we didn't have to worry about anything there. They got one they should easily win next Monday night. They take on the Dolphins. Monday Night Football, color rush jerseys.
Man, they need to make a statement.
I'm gonna play a quick soundbite, John, before we talk about this next team, and I think you'll know as soon as I play it who we're talking about here. So we're playing the bagpipes. Because this team is dead, John.
Uh-oh.
This team had so much high hope before the season. They had Super Bowl aspirations. They had a rabid fan base who got knocked out off a missed double doink field goal last year. But, John, the Chicago Bears, I'm ready to declare them dead and flatline. The Chicago Bears. This team is trash.
We just lost area code 219. We just lost it. We just lost area code 219. the region. Come back, region. That's Brandon.
I'm going to let you talk. I'm going to let you talk, and I'm going to play the song because you know what? I'm going to be honest and blunt with them. I'm going to let you coach them up, rehab them up. So as the song plays in the background, give them some hope. Give some of that destiny.
I will. Why are they second-guessing their quarterback? Did they stop with the bagpipes, man? Did they not see? he didn't play all preseason. You know what I'm saying? But we expect the people, as fan bases expect their quarterback to be as good and cerebral as Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, and that other guy that plays in New England. That's what fan bases expect. But that's not, you know, you can't just stick a kid just because he's good. Just because he's good, you can't just stick him into the offense and be like, all right, go win us the championship. You know what I'm saying? Go win us the North Division. It doesn't work that way. So he's not. Uh-huh. They're disconnected. They have to get connected. They really need to go into a bye and like try to figure things out offensively. They really do.
Let me ask you this:
they're kind of behind the eight ball because Green Bay is playing at a pace, and like it's not like the Detroit Tigers suck.
Wow, Lions.
The Detroit Lions sucked this year. We're gonna lose Detroit here next. But no, it's not like the Detroit Lions suck. They are a interestingly dangerous team.
Or the Vikings.
I'm gonna say the Vikings because it's Kirk Cousins. He's that guy that can win six games for you. Don't trust him in the playoffs though. But no, I don't know, they have a good special. They still have a good special teams. Yes or no? That's a yes. They still have a good defense. Yes or no? That's a yes. They got to figure out the quarterback. They got their quarterback. Is he hurt? If he's hurt, then step aside and get better, and then let the backup get the snaps. That would be my opinion of that. If you're not hurt, you're ready to go. Then we got to get ready. You got to get cerebral about it because you know what he's up against, Brandon. He's up against. Oh, Patty Mahomes can do this. Oh, he's up against Deshaun Watson can do this. But they took me number one because I had – he did have all the intangibles. He's got big – I mean, you know, he all the intangibles that they like to, you know what I'm saying, fill out of the draft. And he made all the throws. And he played in the ACC, which ain't necessarily SEC or the Big Ten. But, you know, but that's – he has to get cerebral. And it's on him because he's the leader of the team. And
what?
That is, and that's my.
If
that's
you're
my
the
case.
Bears,
I don't think they should. If you defense still wins championships, Brandon. I'm saying there's still games to be won. You just got to. They're gonna have to win them a different way.
Okay, so if you're the Chicago Bears, and we're gonna say the season ended today, and you're the Chicago Bears, and you've got the NFL draft coming up, are you happy with what Trubisky's giving you, and you're going to stick with them, or are you going to draft the quarterback in this first round?
Ooh, you know, Brandon, that's a pretty good question. I don't think the Chicago Bears are that bad of a team where they'll be picking for a quarterback. Okay,
I'm just saying if it ended right now, based on how they played, and they're probably say they get a top 10 pick.
The answer is no, because this team is good enough. From a coach standpoint. Team is good enough from a defensive standpoint. This team is good enough from a special team standpoint. And offensively, they can get stuff clicking. They can get to the Super Bowl. I had them at 12-4. I said that to Coach Matt Painter. He looked at me like I was crazy.
He did.
I might be name dropping, but it's the truth. You know what I'm saying? He looked at me like I was crazy. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have that as one of their four games they lost the other night. So, but
have you checked on our Bears fans? Have you checked on some of them, Mitchell Larry,
man,
Brandon Brantley? Have you checked on these guys?
They don't really talk a whole lot of slick. they talk a whole lot of basketball, Brandon. They're not talking football these days. They don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
But I have checked on them. But man,
the Bears are on life support.
They're on life support. Oh man, now at least they got some oxygen.
Yeah, I've got them on life support, so we'll see. Out of that, where it goes with them. Cowboys got it right. Impressive win at home over the Philadelphia Eagles. John, quickly, your thoughts on that game.
Man, they got more lives than the Undertaker. I couldn't believe it. I thought Philadelphia had them. They got more lives than the Undertaker. I got to salute them, man, but I don't. They get into that team. They're kind of that team I don't trust.
Uh-oh. That's what the Cowboys going to do to you? You don't trust them?
I don't trust them, man.
Okay. While we're waiting on Tyler real quick, John, I'm going to give out two of my picks this week. I'm writing for AmericanBettingExperts.com. Article will go up Thursday on their website. The article is going to talk about four games, four different picks for everybody to take for this week. John, I'm going to give you two, okay?
I'm
going to give you two games. First one I'm going to give you is the Redskins and the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings are 14.5-point favorites currently, which I almost think that's too small. They should be a 16 or a 17-point favorite over the Redskins. That's how bad they are. This game will keep most people away. Yeah, this people most people away from the Vikings, but it's in Minnesota, so he's staying at home. But I love the spread. The Redskins are bad. I mean, they're bad. Adrian Peterson comes back to Minnesota. Kirk Cousins facing against his former team. The Vikings will miss some of their key wide receivers. Adam Thielen's out with that hamstring. Mike Zimmer, we know him. He's very profitable against the spread. He's by the book, game management process, keeps his teams disciplined throughout. Here's a little nugget for you, John. Vikings minus 14.5. Mike Zimmer is 19-2 with a 90% winning percentage against the spread in a non-divisional home game being the favorite since his time in Minnesota. 19-2. So with the spread at 14.5, I'm going to lay it easily. Take the Vikings, the 14.5 on Thursday night. And you can't go wrong. Can't go wrong. Redskins are terrible. So that's my first one. The second one, you're going to have to read the article for. The fourth one, you have to read the article for. And that one's going to be the Indianapolis Colts Denver Broncos. I do have a nice write-up on the Colts and Broncos game. So you have to look at that one. But, John, I'm going to go all the way from Thursday night to Sunday night as my last one, the Packers and the Chiefs. Currently right now, Packers 5.5-point favorites. The over-under is at 48. It's in Kansas City at Arrowhead. I'm going to stay away from the spread on this game. The spread's moved up from 4 to 5. Aaron Rodgers and this Packer offense are starting to get back together. Devontae Adams will be back. Patty Mahomes is injured still, so Matt Moore, yes, ladies and gentlemen, that Matt Moore that played for the Miami Dolphins and got destroyed by the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs, that guy is going to be taking over their helm for the next couple of weeks for Kansas City. But with that said, John, I'm going to take the under in this game. 48 points is the under. My little tidbit for you, when Andy Reid took over at Kansas City in 2013, John, no home team in the NFL made bettors more money than the Chiefs. They were 34-19 against the under in their games, including playoffs. With Mahomes out with a knee injury, this place makes that play even more intriguing. So I'm taking the under 48 in the game. It's a 64% winning percentage in Andy Reid at home. Not only does the visitors not score in Arrowhead, but the home team doesn't score either. And it's crazy. They've scored more points on average on the road than they do at home, Kansas City. So those are two of my plays. You're going to have to read the article for the other two plays for this week. But Thursday night, Vikings minus 14.5, and then the under 48. So two plays I love. We're going to jump right in. We've got our guy from the Indianapolis Recorder, Tyler Fenwick. Tyler, my man, how are you? How was your week?
I'm doing all right. I tried the new St. Elmo bourbon tonight, which
yes.
was very good.
Oh, yeah. I've
I was impressed.
I bought two bottles of it, and I'm through almost three-quarters of my first bottle.
I
so,
went to St. Elmo, and I
– Oh.
Yeah. This was
what's the price there? So. What's the price there?
I'm going to toot my own horn a little bit. It was a media event to try it out, and so couldn't tell you the price. But I can tell you it's very good. I had it with Coke.
Yeah.
I had one
okay.
in Coke, one on the rocks, and both were phenomenal.
I agree. I loved it on both. I actually thought I was going to be the only one, and then my girlfriend's kind of like, well, I want to try it, so now it's going to become her bottle as well. But no, $34, I think, is what it came out to when I got it in the store. So well worth it. big bottle too, huge bottle. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think I'm
John, you're gonna have to try
it.
Yeah, John, you have to get it, my man.
We'll see.
He's not. See, John's not an Elmo's guy. He's not an Elmo's guy. So,
right.
Tyler, we had a crazy finish to the American League Championship Series between the Astros and the Yankees. I about jumped out of bed when the home run, that ninth inning home run by DJ LeMahieu from the Yankees. And then I told my girlfriend, I said, "You watch." She loved. Oh, that who's that little guy batting? And I said, "Oh, this dude, he's got power. He probably hit a home run here." And sure enough, he hit it. Walk-off fashion. What was your thoughts on that game?
Man, I was watching. Okay, well, I wasn't watching. I was following along on the GameCast on the MLB like at bat app, you know.
Huh.
And it just, for some reason, I was so confident, like you, like it's ending here one way or another. And I don't know if you ever follow along on GameCast, but like the pitch comes in and it turns blue, and it just says runs at first.
Yep.
And so it says runs in the bottom of an inning, you know, and you're like, okay, that's a walk-off, but I don't know what happened yet. And then you see it's a home run, and you're just like, this is so crazy. Like, of course he did it. Of course he did it. And then I watched the highlights later, and he got a hold of it and just ripped it. But for some reason, you know, you're watching that at bat, and you're like, it's going to end right here. It's just going to happen. And it did.
Yeah, that was a no-doubt swing. It's almost like he knew exactly what Chapman was going to throw there and where at. But it was no doubt. And that's what he does. Altuve, that's what he does. He hits those big games. And he doesn't look like he should. I mean, he's, what, 5'6", 165 or so? And, man, the guy was just I really enjoyed Chapman's impression. His face on the mound, he was just smiling like, I can't believe he just did that to me.
That's very memeable. Yeah, we'll see that for a long time, I think. Chapman, that close-up of him smiling, yeah, just almost in, like, disbelief. We'll be seeing that for a long time, I bet, especially since it's the Yankees and everybody outside of New York loves to hate on the Yankees. That'll be around for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're about – actually, we're exactly 1 hour. John, John, what was your thoughts, ALCS? I know I texted you as soon as it happened. I just said, oh, my God, is all I sent to you.
Yeah, a lot of emotion. Especially at a guy like Jose Altuve. It's kind of like they manage – they try to manage, like, the unpredictableness of the playoffs. They had like he kind of spoke to, like, you know what I'm saying, common. They have a lot of team goals, and like managing through events like this is kind of like something they kind of plan for.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I was just so, like, I was shocked, but I wasn't shocked. I even think LeMahieu, when he was up, I said this dude's gonna hit a home run. I told her, I said, I just have a feeling this guy can sit there and tie it up. And if they got something, they get one man on, and they did. I ain't gonna lie. I wanted the Astros to win the game, but I would have really preferred a Sunday night game 7.
Right.
I saw you tweet
right.
about that, and I agree.
So, I mean, I think everybody wanted a little Sunday night game 7, but we're about 1 hour away. It's 7:08 now here Eastern time. We got an 8:08. World Series Game 1. Tyler, give me your preview of this series, what you're going to be looking for, and kind of who you like.
Well, first of all, yeah, 8:08 tonight. And I just happened to notice games 2 through 6, 8:07. Game 7 would be 8:08. There's no – it doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to anything. They're bookending it with 8:08. First pitch, I don't understand. And then a minute earlier, games 2 through 6, whatever. That's not what we're here to complain about. I think I like the Nationals.
Wow.
And yeah, I know, right? I think I like their pitching matchups throughout the series. I will say tonight, Max Scherzer, Gerrit Cole, like two dominant aces going at it. I don't think whoever goes up 1-0 tonight will have like a very serious advantage because of those two pitchers and just how well they've thrown in this postseason and throughout their careers. I don't think whoever goes up 1-0 tonight gets some kind of serious advantage. Whoever's down 0-1, you know, I know they're not worrying about it too much, but if you're a fan of that team, I would say don't sweat it. But I think, and I keep emphasizing think, because as you can probably tell, I'm like very unsure about this. I just think I like the Nationals because of these pitching matchups throughout the World Series, and they've played so well to this point that until I see something that makes me doubt they can do it, I'm just going to kind of be on board and think, you know, we're going to ride this thing until it ends.
Okay.
I got a question. Do the Nationals have a bullpen that's reminiscent of, I'm not saying as good as, I'm just saying reminds you of something out of the Atlanta Braves from like the late 90s?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, I'm not the expert to talk about the late 90s Atlanta Braves bullpen.
I got you. But you know the names are on there. You know,
Steve Avery, Mark Wahlers, oh yeah, all those.
Right.
I do think you can fall back on that bullpen. And I also think you probably there will be some games where it's like, you know, the starter is on a very short leash, and those will be the games obviously where, you know, you're really relying on that bullpen. You're going to try to have as many fresh arms as possible. I just don't think the Nationals will have to depend very heavily on that bullpen,
okay.
Especially, you know, when you got somebody like Max Scherzer out there. Anibal Sanchez has been throwing pretty well. Like it may not come to that too many times.
Okay. Yeah, I like the I'm going to go opposite of you here. I like the Astros. I like the pitching and the hitting. They have the clutch hitting. As I told my buddy from work, I said, I just don't see a weak spot in this lineup. I mean, I feel like everybody you're going to be facing is in this lineup. It's not, hey, you know what, we can take off this batter, but it's a different guy every time that's got power or has hit clutch hits throughout the season or previous postseason. And like we said, this, you know, this is the farthest almost any Nationals player, I believe any Nationals player has ever been, you know, I mean, this playing this late into October. You know, I'm going to go with the experience. The Astros have been here. They've done it. I like their pitching. I'm not as high on Zach Greinke. Now, you know, he struggled there, obviously, in Yankee Stadium for a bit. But I think Gerrit Cole, I think he's got it for tonight. Verlander, I don't know. You might have to start looking at a new number two here before long. We'll see if he gets it in game two. But overall, yeah, I'm going to go with the Astros and the experience in this series, which I know is a chalk pick, but, you know.
Yes. And like, you know, when Verlander's going, he'll be going up against Steven Strasburg. I know Verlander has been a little up and down, but, like, if he can get it, that's another fantastic pitching matchup in this World Series. I mean, I think I should be clear, like, I'm not a Nationals fan. I'm not an Astros fan. If you're just a regular old baseball fan, like, this will be a fantastic series for you to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. All right, Tyler, let's jump ship over to the NCAA college football real quick. Kind of talk a little bit about Big Ten. Tough game in Happy Valley this past weekend with your Wolverines. I told John when we started the show tonight, I got to talk to you because I've read an article today that apparently there's a report that Jim Harbaugh is eyeing a quote-unquote exit strategy at Michigan to get back in the NFL this year.
Wow, okay, so I did not read that. Where was that?
That is on TotalProSports.com. It was first reported by Football Scoop.
Okay.
That with all these coaching openings that's going to be happening in the NFL – John, by the way, the one we talked about with Anthony Lynn in Los Angeles. I can see Harbaugh going to the Chargers. Just going to say it. That'd be my top pick for him. So, but let's first talk about Happy Valley. Your thoughts on that game? Did you get to see any of it?
No, yeah, I watched the whole thing. So going down 21-0 was like typical Michigan in a big game, especially on the road. And you're, as a fan, like, you know, you're disappointed that they lost, and the way they lost it, trapping that touchdown that would have tied it up. But I've not seen a Michigan team under Jim Harbaugh fight back in a big game like that. They've played better in big games, but they haven't gotten down and like come back like that. So I thought that was like the most impressive thing. And it gave me a little hope that this weekend against Notre Dame could be better than what I've been thinking, basically all season up to this point. I'm not surprised that they lost. I thought they were going to lose. And we talked last week and I said, you know, I don't think Michigan's going to win this game. But that was like a different Michigan performance than we're used to seeing against good teams, especially on the road. So you can look at that and take some positives away.
Okay. Well, just so everybody knows, I'm looking at change.org right now. And they have a petition to fire Jim Harbaugh. Looks like it was started about a month ago, and they've got 65 people who have signed up. So,
well,
total
I'm
65.
Not one of 65.
John, what else you got?
The only thing I got to say about, I take away positives from like playing that well on the road, still didn't come out with the victory. I think they get it done against the Golden Domers.
Oh my!
I think they get it done. Hey man, I can't. South Bend, there's no love lost between this show and South Bend, you know. But I think they get it done against the Golden Domers. I really do. This is not like we can just pack it all in just because Jim, because we still got games to play. They still got big games to play, and this is they expect to win these games. Just because you out of the national title hunt picture, it's still Michigan. The name is still on the line. You know what I'm saying? The brand is still on the line. We're not getting ready to lay down to Ohio State. We're not getting ready to lay down. I think they play Wisconsin. I do believe. We're not getting ready to lay down.
Their big games left basically are Notre Dame, Michigan State, and Ohio State. And I think you're right that they're not going to lay down
right.
those teams, but that's the only thing you're playing for at this point. You're not playing for a Big Ten title because with two conference losses, that's pretty much out of reach. You're definitely not playing for a playoff spot. You're playing to like ruin Ohio State's season at this point. And Notre Dame's, you know, they lost to Georgia, but yeah.
Those are your rivals. So there's pride from a fan standpoint, which is always kind of I always zero in on. We didn't win a national title, but guess what? Ohio State didn't either. We didn't win a national title, but guess what? Notre Dame. They're not even in the conversation anymore of national. That's why, you know, maybe they don't want to play us next year or, you know what I'm saying, going further. You know, yeah, the politics of football. But this is not a pack. I really do, before Brandon automatically got him going to the San Diego Chargers, I think if he finishes out this season on a winning streak, then he comes back next year and tries to, you know what I'm saying, get it all, redeem himself from this previous year. That's what I think.
This kind of talk comes up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm not too worried about it. This kind of talk comes up, you know, once a year toward the end of the year. It's like, yeah, you get used to it at a certain point.
Well, looking at the odds right now for this game, Michigan is a 1-point favorite currently. They did open up at 2.5-point favorites, so it's went down to 1. Just based on looking at lines over the years, I can see this shifting to a pick'em game before the kickoff on Saturday night.
Sounds good.
Now you'll have to explain to a non-better person like myself what a pick'em game is.
Okay, so a pick'em is pretty much that the line is pretty even, and it's even money. So no matter who you bet on, you're going to get pretty much even money. So you would bet on so a pick'em. Like I said, there's no team is getting points. It's pretty much a straight up game. Who you think will win is a pick'em. So obviously, right now with Michigan -1. If I was betting on Michigan right now at the -1, they would have to win the game by 2 for me to win my bet. If they won by 1, it'd be a push, and I'd get my money back. And if they lost, then obviously I would lose as well. So that's betting 101 when it comes to the Michigan Wolverines. So
I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Question for both of you gentlemen. Let's stay in the Big Ten. As there are two still undefeated teams in the Big Ten with Penn State and Minnesota. Minnesota has to play, I do believe, they play Maryland coming up. And I think they win that. Of the two undefeated teams remaining outside of Ohio State, do you think Penn State has a shot at upsetting what everybody thinks is going to be Ohio State? I know it ain't Minnesota. Minnesota's, a good story at this point.
Not a chance. I don't think so. It's in Columbus. No way.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Ohio State has just looked too good. I was looking forward. We talked last week about Ohio State-Wisconsin. That could still definitely turn into a good game, but we saw the Badgers lose to Illinois, of all teams. And like, I'm a little less excited about that one. I just think the Buckeyes are, like, way too good for everybody in the Big Ten. And when they play Penn State, I trust Ohio State to win, even if it's by 3 points. But I think it could also be by 20. They're just too good.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. Speaking of Big Ten, guys, how surprising was – like, I watched that Wisconsin game towards the end. I watched the fourth quarter because I was intrigued how close it was. And normally a Paul Chryst Wisconsin team is pretty disciplined and is pretty, spot on with game flow, game management. But when you're winning and Illinois hasn't been inside, by the way, Illinois was never in the red zone once that game, which is crazy for that. So when they scored, they're all outside the red zone. But they hiked the ball with 6 minutes and 5 minutes to go with 11, 9, 8, and 12 seconds still left on the play clock. I mean, it just baffles me that team did that. And I don't know if they were looking ahead. They could easily, they'd be looking ahead of past Illinois to Ohio State this week.
Right. I do believe that was the factor. Absolutely. And it kind of cost them. This is actually a pretty good, like Tyler said, Wisconsin is still a pretty good – Ohio State cannot take this game lightly. Right? They cannot.
Right.
This will be a big test for them.
Yeah, I agree.
Why are you not just turning around and handing the ball off
to
your All-American running back? I don't get it.
Yep, I 100% agree with that. Hey, by the way, I would be remiss if I didn't say – because, I get a lot of grief from our Indiana Hoosier faithful here because we don't talk about them as much. But the Hoosiers did get votes for the top 25. They're getting votes, John.
Yeah, that's good. I don't know.
It's a step. It's a step.
That might go through your head down in Bloomington, man. I don't necessarily think I use in the top 25 just yet. I couldn't put them in the top 25. Not just yet.
And
the Big Ten runs through Bloomington, Indiana.
Oh boy. Tyler, are you a big soccer guy?
Not really. But what's
okay. That? Well, my thing is, and it has nothing to do with soccer, which is crazy. But the Premier League over in Europe, they play their season, and the bottom four teams of the season get relegated to a lower division, and the top four teams of that lower division move up to the big boys. My question is, I wish we could do that with the Big Ten, because I'm sitting here looking and I see Rutgers and they're playing Liberty. Okay. Hugh Freeze Liberty team. And Liberty is the favorite in this game. Rutgers is an underdog at home against Liberty. And this is the Big Ten?
I get where you're going. I'm familiar with this concept. I have questions about how it would work logistically when you're talking about conferences and like TV rights and that kind of stuff, bull bids, all that kind of stuff. But it does seem like at some point the Big Ten's going to have to do something about its bottom feeders being so bad. Every conference, of course, has teams that are at the bottom and that, you know, make the conference look worse. Nobody's got a Rutgers. And I think I heard that they've been shut out in like one third of their conference games since joining the Big Ten. Like,
yeah,
these are stats that take it over the top. It's not comparable to other conferences' bad teams. This is like the worst of them. So, yeah, at some point they're going to have to address it. I highly doubt we ever see that kind of bottom four, top four exchange, but it'll have to be something. It'll just have to be at some point.
This team, Liberty, was a Division II football team in 2017. Now they're an independent team, which I'm not going to give them too much grief because Notre Dame's an independent team. But no Big Ten team at home should be an underdog to a former Division II Liberty squad. It's embarrassing.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely, yeah.
And I knew, John, you would love that because you're all over Rutgers all season so far.
Yeah, man. I don't think it could be a bottom feeder MAC team.
Okay.
Did this go for 1 yard?
I got two questions, Brandon,
before we let
Tyler go. So Alabama, LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and Oklahoma. That's the top five teams, right? Who's the Alabama, LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma. That's
okay.
Top five.
Okay.
Who's there? Is everybody? I know Brandon doesn't believe Alabama. Who do you think the best team out of the top five? I'm ready to say LSU, Brandon.
Ooh. Do you believe me now with my Notre Dame or my Alabama talk? Are you a believer yet?
Well, that's he's gonna have to have an operation. He's got to sit out. There's no quick turnaround. Like now, he's looking at. Hey, think about this, Brandon and Tyler. He's looking at now. I got a national championship, right? He's looking at it to be a number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna run out there to jeopardize that? Absolutely not. LSU is the best team in America. It's the SEC is theirs to lose. SEC is theirs to lose. I give you the floor before I ask my second question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got something to say here.
Go ahead, Tyler.
Because last week I said if you took Ohio State or LSU at the top spot, I wouldn't have beef with either choice, and I'm sticking with that. So I don't have anything really negative to say about you thinking LSU is the top team. At this point, I'm kind of leaning Ohio State, but I see a really strong argument for both teams. I think if you're going to pick somebody other than Ohio State or LSU, you're leaning a little bit on recent history and a brand and maybe an expectation of what's to come. But if you just look at what's happened so far this season, I don't see how you can look at another team other than LSU or Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep, I still believe Ohio State's the team to win the national title, and I'm still sticking with Alabama not making the college football playoff. Just stick with it.
Wow. All right, super. Second question. Of the one lost team, Florida, Notre Dame, Auburn, Georgia, who can get back into the top four, five? Who can get back? Who has the best odds to get back in the top five?
I mean, does top five really matter? I mean, I think what matters is top four.
Well, then if you can get in, technically, I think mathematically, if they jump back into the top five conversation, yeah, they would have probably beat. They probably would have had to beat somebody in the top four or top five.
I think.
Right now. So, yeah.
I think the only two team. My opinion. The only top two teams I think you could do is Auburn and Georgia. Just the fact that Auburn's got to play Alabama still, and Georgia could play Alabama in the SEC championship, and that could be enough to get them back in. But I don't think Florida, I don't think they have enough, even if they would run the route to go to the SEC championship, which I don't believe in their quarterback or their offensive play. And Notre Dame, they just, after Michigan here, they don't have any bullets left in the chamber. So those are my two teams.
Project them to get up fire. I got you. Right.
Tyler?
So I think I like Georgia in this debate because they I like them to pick up a top 10 win against Florida. Not this week, but next week. I think Georgia and Florida are both on byes this week, and then they'll play each other next week. And then, yeah, Georgia plays Auburn, and then you're looking at a very possible SEC championship matchup between Georgia and Alabama again. And, I mean, at that point, you're one game away from probably being in the college football playoff. So I would have to pick Georgia. I just don't think – I don't see another team with a – as clear of a path to the top five, top four, whatever we settled on. I don't see another team getting there other than Georgia.
Will Oregon, I know, Pac-12 team, will they have a argument if they go undefeated and win the Pac-12 and the Pac-12 championship, post-championship? Will they have an argument to say, hey, why can't we get in?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Now, at this point, what you're talking about when you're on the outside looking in like this, and we see it pretty consistently with the Big 12 and the Pac-12, is it matters so much what other teams and other conferences have done. And if you see, like, four solidified teams and you want to be that fifth team creeping up in there trying to make a case, it's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it happens, but it's got more to do with the other teams rather than the quality from like Oregon or, you know, Oklahoma or like whatever team from the Pac-12 or Big 12 that's sitting five or six and wondering why they're not in the top four.
Yeah. I guess I'll give a little phrase, John. The reason why I don't think Oregon will, because the problem is Auburn. They lost to Auburn early in the season, that first week. And if Auburn loses to Alabama, that's going to drop Auburn, which doesn't make that win look – or that doesn't look like that's going to help Oregon's case one bit. But even if Auburn does beat Alabama, that's still not going to help their case because Auburn already knocked off Oregon. So I don't see them getting leapfrogging Auburn. Does that make sense?
I got you. Right. I got you.
So, okay. Tyler, last thing, as we always do, what are you currently what's your project? What are you currently working on?
Well, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but I'm the only journalist at the Indianapolis Reporter right now. So I'm working on everything. So one thing coming out this week is a little story about Darius Leonard. So I went to Colts practice last Thursday or Friday, and I was talking to him. And I wanted to talk about his perspective on football and life post-concussion because he had made some comments basically saying, like, having a concussion and symptoms not going away very quickly made him look at things differently. I wanted to talk to him about that. He said, no more concussion talks. I'm done talking about concussions. We're not going to do it. So we ended up talking about South Carolina State going to an HBCU. It was his only offer, and, like, you know, obviously he was he came on the scene in the NFL very quickly, and he's become a household name at the linebacker spot. So that'll come out this week. I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, perfect. John, any last things from you?
Just want to say thanks to the Indianapolis Reporter, and thanks Tyler Fenwick for coming on once again, man. We're going to talk talk more Major League Baseball next week, and hopefully definitely some in depth. Not just picking on Michigan. I don't want people.
I know.
I believe in the program. I believe in Captain Comeback. I believe in Jim Harbaugh. That's why I kind of think they're gonna turn their season around. But again, I want to say thank you for coming on again. We have to have you on next week.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, guys. I look forward to this every week. It's fun to talk baseball, talk football, talk sports in general. It's a good time.
Perfect, Tyler. Thank you. Have a great week, buddy.
Yeah, you too.
All right, that's Tyler Fenwick of the Indianapolis Recorder joining us, John. Like we said, thank you to Indianapolis Recorder for getting us, Tyler. And, yeah, it's good talk. Hey, you know, part of Crossroads Sports Radio is bantering a little bit about your teams, the good times, the bad times. And right now it's just a bad time for the Wolverines. I mean, it could end up good. So until then, you know, we're just going to keep it real. 100%. We're not going to be as loud and boisterous as some of those other shows. Reggie Sykes, shout out to you. But yeah, still, let's, John, let's fast forward now. We talked about everything else. I'm more excited right now for the NBA starting tonight. I am so excited. We've got two games. We got the Crafters is what I'm labeling them year. We've got them getting their I'm sorry?
They just pay Siakam all that money, man. The Raptors will be all right. They'll be your top five. They'll be three or four or five in the East. They will.
Okay. But we've got the Raptors and the Pelicans without Zion Williamson, without 6 to 8 weeks with this knee injury, John. Let's first talk about that. What was your thoughts? Zion already out and injured before the season's even started.
Sometimes, man, I think these kids ain't all grown up just yet, man. You know, we push them out there, and, you know what I'm saying, because they can do this and that. And he's amazing. He's amazing what he can do on basketball, what he can do with the basketball and what he can do with it on the basketball court. But, man, it's kind of for the opening night, you kind of would want to see, you know, say him and LeBron highlight. It's going to be amazing highlights that they would put on, right? But it's not meant to be. So let's not rush the product. That's why I look at it. Like, I know they're paying him millions of dollars, and I know people really want to see Zion Williams play. But let's not rush the product. You know what I'm saying? We ruin this kid's bright future.
Yeah, absolutely.
If he needs to lose weight, Scott Pollard was on local radio saying, you know, saying when he kind of like Zion Williams needs to get leaner. And that's what he needs to do, because he's too great of a talent to, you know, kind of waste the injury because he's overweight. You know what I mean?
By the way, if these Toronto Raptors, if they give Drake a ring and they bring him out on the court, I'm done with them. I'll be done. if they bring Drake out, by the way, I did not know Jamal McGlure. There's a name for you. Shout out from the past. Jamal McGlure is on the coaching staff and gets a ring.
He's from Toronto. He's from
Canada. Woof. Okay. And then the big game tonight, just because of the names, and the Lakers and the Clippers, no Paul George. He'll be missing the first week or two of the NBA season. He'll be back in early November, but still Kawhi against LeBron and AD. Looking at it all day, John, I think this is the Lakers game to lose. You cannot lose to the Clippers without PG. It's just one of those games you cannot afford to lose. It's a bad look.
It'll be, you know, because it's Patrick Beverly and, you know, it's LeBron. It's going to be some, the eyes are watching. You don't lose your mind if you're the Clippers and you lose. You don't lose your mind if you're the Lakers and you lose. It's just game one.
Patrick Mutombo is on the Raptors too. I didn't know Patrick Mutombo. He looks like his dad. I know. I'm seeing Patrick Mutombo right now for the Raptors.
Oh,
is that Dikembe's son? No, he's a coach. He didn't make it. Make it in the league. Question for a lot of Crossroads Sports Nation fans want to know, especially with you. Will you be watching both games tonight?
Probably, dude, I'll be asleep.
That's what I figured. Not doing the research for the Crossroads fans. Not doing the research. So,
I got the research, but
John, I went ahead and did my NBA predictions earlier today. I ranked both conferences, who I've got. I gave my East Finals predictions and then the NBA champion predictions for this year. I'm gonna start with my Eastern Conference, and I'm gonna go from 15th up to number one, where I think they'll finish at the end of the regular season, going into the playoffs. The worst team in the East, no, it should not be a shock here. I've got the Charlotte Hornets. And then, sorry, I know we've already pissed off their fan base earlier this evening, but I've got the Chicago Bulls at number 14, even with Kobe White going up there and Larkin. I've got the Cleveland Cavaliers at 13, the New York Knicks at 12. The Washington Wizards, 11. The Atlanta Hawks at number 10. And the last team missing the playoffs, the Detroit Pistons. I got the Pistons at number 9. So Charlotte, Chicago, Cleveland, New York. I don't know. New York, it's going to take more than the Maple Mamba, or whatever they call him, there. Top 8 teams. These are all playoff teams. Number 8, Orlando Magic. I think the Magic make the playoffs this year at the number 8. They made it last year. They're definitely going to build upon that. Number 7, the Miami Heat. The number 6, Brooklyn Nets. No KD this year. Just Kyrie. I think the Brooklyn makes the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to be anything special. So I've got Brooklyn at number 6. Number 5, I have the Toronto Raptors. And at number 5, the Indiana Pacers, number 4. The Pacers, hometown team here. I got us finishing 4th in the East this year. Boston Celtics, number 3. The Milwaukee Bucks, number 2. And I got the Philadelphia 76ers, John, finished on top of the Eastern Conference at the end of the regular season. Your thoughts on that?
Man, I like the lineup you got. I don't like how you got them aligned. I like Milwaukee. I do like Milwaukee, number 1. I am concerned about the Boston Celtics. I think the Boston Celtics will be a faster, sleeker team, kind of built for speed, kind of like how the NBA kind of wants it. I am concerned about Boston's ability to rebound offensively in tight games. They're playing with 3 small forwards. They've just invested another $115 million in another small forward. They already have another $140 million. I thought they invested in Gordon Hayward, you know. So the wings – but again – the wing position in the NBA is now you put small forwards at power forward positions. You put small forwards at shooting guard positions, and you kind of run out there. So that would be a very fast, up-paced team that you can see for them. I don't trust Joel Embiid-led team at all. So there's no way I would put – I mean, Philadelphia will win a bunch of games. Again, they'll be, you know, second-best team by their record in the East. But I don't trust Joel Embiid at all. I don't. And then we also there's been again. Did they ever question their depth? Did they ever, you know, say address their depth? That was kind of made Philadelphia 76ers a good team. The kind of team that everybody kind of saw to be on the rise was their depth. And like now that all the depth's gone, it helped the depth. It left when J.J. Redick went to the Pelicans, right? You know, when they made the trade to get Jimmy Butler, and then see how that Jimmy Butler experiment didn't work out. So. I don't know, Brandon. I think you kind of left out the Atlanta Hawks in the equation as far as the bottom 8-7 is concerned. I don't necessarily have a whole lot of faith in Miami's longevity in winning tough games in February. You know, saying February and March. I just don't. I don't know some of the talent, the roster pool outside of Jimmy Butler and how that locker room is. It's his locker room, right? We know that, but like, there's probably some veterans in there that probably think it's their locker room. And like, I don't know how that kind of plays. It'll be a Miami drama, I guarantee you. But the Atlanta Hawks, I know, there'll be some young, high-flying, fast-paced Hawks. Something, you know what I'm saying, that'll be enjoyable to watch. In this Ole type of defense that they play in the NBA, you know what I'm saying, Trae Young's going to put up crazy numbers again this year. And now he's got some running mates with him with Cam Reddish. And Hunter, that used to play for Virginia, so it's gonna they're actually that builds upon like the youth knew what they already had with the Atlanta, so they'll be a fun team. I think.
What about the veteran, Vince Carter?
What about who? Right. This is Vince's last year, so their team. They're like, I think people should look at them like this, Brandon. Like everybody wants to see the Pelicans in the West get to the playoffs because of Zion Williamson. The Atlanta Hawks are just as fun. They just don't have that big name like Zion Williamson. You see what I'm saying? They have a very youthful. They have a very youthful bunch that people. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna be surprised at what you know what I'm saying. The openness of Cam Reddish and Hunter's games. They're gonna have struggles because they're gonna be rookies or whatever, and like adjusting to the length of the floor. You know what I'm saying, 3-point shot is going to probably affect them, but I think they'll do fine. I like the Atlanta Hawks to steal games this year. I do from teams that they normally would steal games from. But bottom feeders of this particular East. Yeah, you hit a dead right on to Cleveland, I was going to call them Bobcats, but yeah, the Charlotte Hornets. Yeah, probably even the Washington Wizards, because John Wall ain't walking through that door. He's not.
Yeah.
It's just Bradley Beal. His $72 million.
And I may be low on the Bulls. The Bulls may be better than what I got them as. I don't know. I didn't think they did enough.
Brandon, Bulls 30 games. I'm sorry, we probably lost 219. We probably lost 219 just again. 30 games. Don't get it. 30 games. That's it. Sorry, I'm being realistic. I watch this stuff. 30 games.
Okay. Eastern Conference Finals. Actually, before I get to the finals, do what I have. Pacers at number 4. Is that about kind of where you have them?
I don't want to overbook them. I don't. But I had the Pacers like teetering 5-6.
Ooh.
Before, you know what I'm saying? I do.
46.5
like
wins
Brogdon.
Is where Vegas has them.
You like Brogdon's toughness. You know what I'm saying? We know TJ is an upgrade at the tweeners, power forward, small forward. You just kind of got to – you want to see it before you want to just say, oh, preseason is one thing, and checking out the kids' stats from what they did in Phoenix or what they did, you know what I'm saying, and within the many places that the Holiday brother has played is one thing, and how that all going to gel. Oh, man, you know what, Brandon? I don't know if I trust the backup. I think he might – I hope it doesn't become a drama to where – they're leaning on what's the kid that you love that we got? What's his name?
TJ McConnell.
Brandon. Yeah, McConnell. I think McConnell probably steals more minutes from that second point guard spot. I do.
He thinks he steals it from Holiday.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Yeah, I like the 4 where I've got the Pacers. I just don't think they get in that top 3. I like the Celtics firepower over them more, especially with Oladipo going to be out a little bit. The Pacers schedule does look good early. The schedule people have blessed us with the schedule. Don't be shocked if the Pacers start out 6-1 or whatnot, because it's a very, very easy schedule by off paper. Obviously, on paper and playing are two different things, so we'll see what happens there. But Vegas has got the Pacers to 46 wins. I can see them between – I see 47, 48 wins this season. So I would take the over on the team total there. I think 48 was about a reasonable number again for Indiana. I think they had that last year too, if I remember right.
Brandon, for the Pacers, rebounding is going to be critical. What coach did we did not have on, whether it was – I don't want to go through the – you know what I'm saying, start name dropping, but what coach – if we didn't have it on, say rebounding, said that the first thing they kind of, they don't even talk about scoring. They say they talk about pace and they talk about rebounding. The Pacers got to get rebounded. They just paid Sabonis $75 million. He's gonna have to become a double double guy. Yes, he is.
You don't sound thrilled about that money.
That's the market value for what players get right now. So that the money doesn't blow my mind. It's like, are you going to?
He's making more than Miles.
Well, I don't look at that. Miles signed his you know, saying his contract 2 years prior. I hope it works out. I hope it works out to where Sabonis, you know what I'm saying, he works on his game. We know Miles works. I don't want to make it the Miles versus Sabonis thing. I hope people don't start doing that. Like, they're too good. You can see the potential, right? It's just that Pacers fans are greedy and they want it right now. So they want that. They want them to gel as much as humanly possible. But you know, they got to learn. Like I said, between those two, they got to be the rebounders. And you know, Sabonis is gonna have to learn how to be a better jump shooter than what he has been. You know, I had to. Brandon, you talk about I don't go hard on Sabonis. I had to defend him. I had a friend of mine, listener of the show, say Sabonis was akin to Psycho T. I said, Oh no! I said, oh wow, Psycho T. I said, listen, I got me some love. Willie Martin, who you know, our Pacer liaison, right? Would he knows I vouch for Cycle T, but like Cycle T's at talent level, what he could do versus what Sabonis could do is, you know what I'm saying, two different levels. Sabonis has borderline all-star ability. Like, but his problem is it's not consistent. It's not. It's Miles Turner. It's the same thing with Miles Turner. But when you know market Brandon quite personally, well, honestly, you know market where you know you're not getting all stars to just run over here to come play in Indianapolis. You kind of have to hope the borderline guys can show and prove for you. I think that they believe it does. You know, there's no reason to doubt Nate McMillan's coaching anymore, or his you know. So the Pacers, 4 or 5, I totally agree with you. But they gotta become dogs of the boards. They have to.
Yep. I've got the finals. I have the Sixers and the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I have Milwaukee, John. I have the Milwaukee Bucks beating the 76ers, so it's flip-flopped from my regular season finish. So it was funny when you said that, because I was like, oh, well, wait till here's my Eastern Finals. So yeah. I've got the Bucks in the East. Looking at the West. Go ahead.
No, I told you, dude. It's Giannis to lose. The East is his to lose.
Yep. In the West, going from the bottom, I've got the by the way, do not be surprised. I'm going to go ahead and make a bold prediction now. John, I don't think Zion Williamson wins the Rookie of the Year. Hello? You know who I think it is? I think it's Ja Morant. Everybody's not talking about Ja Morant. I haven't heard one person in the last 3 weeks talk about Ja Morant. So.
No, I haven't. He kind of slept on. They kind of see what they're going to see what they got out there.
So, what I have in the West, I've got the Memphis or the Phoenix Suns at number 15. I still have them as the worst team in the West. Nothing's changed there. I've got the Memphis Grizzlies coming in at number 14. I've got an improvement, number 13, Sacramento Queens, as Shaq would say, calling the Queens. But I've got them at 13. Number 12, I have the Oklahoma City Thunder. By the way, John, I was thinking this today because they showed the shot again by Damian Lillard. That may have just ended everything for Oklahoma right there. That one shot, that might have just killed the whole city. I mean, it killed Paul George. It killed Russell Westbrook. I mean, uh-oh.
Be kind.
They've got a face up on the wall when you first go into Oklahoma City that says wanted, and it's Damian Lillard's face because he just killed the whole city. Based on that, but I got the Thunder at 12. This is where it's going to get kind of interesting because I think it's a tight-knit group. Number 11, John, I have the Minnesota Timberwolves at number 11. I don't have them making the playoffs this year. Number 10, I have the New Orleans Pelicans. I don't even have the Pelicans making the playoffs. I got the Pelicans at number 10, especially with losing Zion for 6 to 8 weeks. And then who knows how long this injury will last further the rest of the season. At number 9, I have the San Antonio Spurs. I'm sorry, Coach Pop. I know I wanted to throw you in there, but I just found 8 teams I think will be better than the San Antonio Spurs this year, and there's nobody that's really jumping off. I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge and Rudy Gay. I mean, that's still who you're rolling with down in San Antonio. They may be the third best team in Texas, which is what I have here. Number 8, I have the Dallas Mavericks. And, John, by the way, I have it circled. The Dallas Mavericks are my sleeper team this season. I think they can move all the way up to maybe 6 or 5 easily, the Dallas Mavericks. I like Luka Doncic. I like Porzingis, what I've seen so far. With that, those two, it's going to be disgusting how they do this year. I really love Dallas, and they are my sleeper team this year. I think a lot of people – and I actually already bought NBA League Pass – and where you can buy a certain amount of teams to watch if you choose. The Dallas Mavericks are one of the out-of-the-market teams I chose to watch because I have a lot of expectations for the Mavericks this year. So Mavericks are number 8. Portland Trailblazers, number 7. The Utah Jazz, number 6. I have the Golden State Warriors at number 5. Steve Kerr does not expect Klay Thompson back this season. It's crazy to say the Warriors are the 5th best team in the West now, but losing KD, losing everybody, Livingston, I think the Warriors take a huge step back to number 5. Number 4, I have the Houston Rockets. Number three, I have the Los Angeles Lakers finishing number three in the Western Conference regular season. Number two, I have the Denver Nuggets. And number one, I have the Los Angeles Clippers finishing first place in the regular season out west. Your thoughts on those?
Once again, I like your arrangement. I just don't like how your I don't necessarily like the order that you have, man. I would have Portland a little bit higher than seven. I would have Portland a little bit higher than seven. I would actually have the Oklahoma City Thunder trying to, tank. I think they start selling off pieces of that team come around All-Star break. It's gonna be an overhaul with that particular team. Denver is a sleeper. Like scary sleeper. Like they are a very matchup. They got the Joker, but Joker is he's the guy, but he ain't a difference maker. You know what I'm saying? And there's difference makers are like Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Steph Curry. You know what I'm saying? Difference makers but they do have like matchup problems, and they do have depth, and they do have youth. And you know, they got great chemistry with their team. Brandon, they're gonna be a real tough out. They are, but they kind of need like the guy. But I don't think they make a trade or anything like that right now. They have too much to gel with that particular team. But they're gonna be real scary. I just can't automatically give the Clippers the number one overall, because I think Denver's going to be up there scrapping for wins from both them and the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. So you're okay with my – I mean, it's tough, John. You look at that Western Conference. It's tough to place people. I mean, I would take a lot of the Western Conference before – Utah number six.
Man, Bojan's better than number six.
What's your thoughts on Dallas? Because I have them, I said that they're my sleeper, this season. What's your thoughts on the Mavs?
Still a little young, man. I would almost have Sacramento rated over Dallas.
Ooh.
I would. I would have Sacramento rated over Dallas.
Are you okay with the Warriors at five?
Yeah, they're gonna be up. They're gonna try to score 127 points. They're gonna be a real fun team. They're gonna become the Houston. They're gonna be a version, not just like the Houston Rockets. They're gonna be a version of the Houston Rockets, or to the old Phoenix Suns. They're gonna try to score 200 points. I don't know why I said 127. Yeah, they're gonna try to score 200 points. So yeah, definitely. But they're gonna lose games because they can't. Even though Steph Curry can, like Steve Kerr said, Steph Curry can come back into camp in great shape. Like where's his main guys at? He's basically gonna be out the rest of the season. That's kind of how I took it. And I'm talking about Klay Thompson. So again, but once they get in the playoffs, then you won't want to play the Golden State Warriors. You won't.
Okay. The Warriors are the Rockets. I think I got them solidly there at number four. I think that's kind of where they go. Lakers. The only reason I have the Lakers at three, John, is because I think they do some quote unquote load management. And they lose some games based on load management as they work with their way towards the playoffs this year. So that's why I have them at third. I think it means more for Denver and the Clippers to finish up there as high as they can. So with that, my West Finals, I have the Clippers against the Los Angeles Lakers. I think the Lakers get past the Nuggets. So I got the LA show, Battle of LA. And then I have the
they're going to save a lot of money. on travel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead.
And then I have the Lakers knocking off the Clippers. I think the MVP, LeBron, comes back this year. I think he saw got hungry watching the playoffs in his house and not everybody talking about LeBron. And you know how LeBron's ego is. The fact they're not talking about LeBron in the playoffs, that had to get to him. So I think the Lakers make it back to the NBA Finals. And you've got a Bucks-Lakers NBA Finals. And I think just the hunger for LeBron, I think the Lakers are crowned NBA champions this year, not the Clippers.
Wow.
I think LeBron, the Lakers get it done.
Wow. All I know is LeBron gets back to the finals, he will win another finals.
Mm-hmm. There's no way. The reason I do it, I don't see Kawhi Leonard going back-to-back NBA championships or going back-to-back finals. He's not the caliber player of LeBron James to do that.
He's not the caliber of LeBron James, but he is very special.
Mm-hmm.
He's very special.
So,
I don't know. Go ahead.
Who do you have? Final thing I have. Who do you have winning the NBA title?
I can't give you the answer right now. It's too early to tell.
You got to give me one. It's a prediction. We're about bold predictions
Denver,
here.
Bold prediction, I would say Denver. Like they could be this year's Toronto Raptors if somebody gets a hot hand. They could be this year's Toronto Raptors. They really could. They have that much depth and that much talent. And
they're going to need to smoke a lot of weed out there for that to happen.
Yeah, I'm sure that happens on a daily basis, but I digress. But bold predictions. LeBron gets the ring for the Lakers, man. Goes out, you know what I'm saying, plays a gun. Some kind of
that's what I'm talking about.
So that he can say, hey, what did Mike do? Mike never won three titles with three different, organizations. You know, it'll be a feather in his cap. So
absolutely. Okay. Any last things from you, John, before we go?
Dude, I had a whole breakdown for my time at Ball State.
Oh, yes.
Ball State homecoming. So I can wrap it up. It really had like 15 minutes, but I can wrap it up in five. So, man, Ball State crushed Toledo 52-14 at homecoming this week. It was a great experience for me to go back to Ball State University. I hadn't been there in probably over 10 years or so. The school has changed. The tailgating experience has changed tremendously. I think, honestly, Brandon, there were more people at the tailgate than there were actually at the actual game. But the game is kind of what, you know what I'm saying, fuels everybody fire. And people still care about, you know what I'm saying, the win-loss of the program. Ball State is in good shape. I don't want to, you know what I'm saying, go too much on the fact that I did hang out a little bit at the tailgate. But Ball State is in good hands. They're currently undefeated in MAC play. And there's still more MAC play, you know what I'm saying, down the road. There's still more games to play, so, you know what I'm saying. But they are undefeated as of today right now. And like I said, they put on a spectacle of offensive ability. Quarterback Drew Plitt had three touchdowns, had one interception, pretty bad interception. But he threw for three touchdowns, and the running back crew ran for like 200 yards total, two touchdowns, right? And Roddy Miller finally got back to his old self, his old all-MAC, self. He kind of had a funk there playing against IU, as we saw when they were playing in Lucas Oil a month ago. And he kind of had a funk. He wasn't even on the scorecard, I feel like, when they played against NC State. But Roddy Miller got back to his old self and got a touchdown. And like I said, cars are in good standings, man. You know, a lot of times we go too much on the top five, the Oklahomas and the Clemsons of the world, and we don't really root for the middle guys. And Ball State's a middle guy kind of program, but it's a winning program, and it was good to be back at Ball State University. And Brandon, if you better book it to put it on your calendar to go back next year, dude, because you'll love it. Like I said, tailgate tips. Ball State is still the number one party school in Indiana. That's all
yeah.
I will say about that.
I was there. Hey, when I was at Ball State and we went 13-0 my senior year and was ranked in the top 15 in the country, the tailgating was amazing, just as much as the football was on the field. So definitely bring back some memories. By the way, did you get to meet your white whale, Mr. Whitlock?
No, I didn't get to meet him, man. We missed Scott. Man, Scott turned off his phone, so I didn't get to meet him. But
did you see the video that he released?
No, I didn't. I know because he brought his own camera crew down there.
Yeah, I will. I'll send you the link. I watched it earlier today. I was looking for you on the video. So, but yeah, it was pretty interesting with Whitlock there. So, good to hear, man. Yeah, I wish I could have been there. A few things happened. I wasn't able to make it, but I was following the score and your updates and stuff. So. Really, really appreciate that. I know our fan base did as well. So,
definitely.
All right, my man, we got the World Series starting now, so we got to get off. Any final thing?
No, man, I just want to thank everybody for listening, man. We'll check you out next week.
If you called, I'm sorry. We have a couple calls I see on here, but sorry, we got to go. World Series is starting. Join us next week. Carry on the conversation on the Facebook page. Thanks, everybody. Have a great evening.
Crossroads Sports.